Community Matters, solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference.
Good morning, it's Megan from The Morning Show on your Encouraging WPER, and this is another edition of Community Matters. This week we're excited because we're talking to Pastor Mike Dodson and Lisa of Hope for Appalachia because our campaign is about to kick off. In fact, next Friday evening, so not this coming Friday, but Friday the 28th, is going to be our kickoff at Sweet Frog at Eagle Village and Harrison Crossing, both locations in Fredericksburg. And then for the next three-ish weeks through March 20th, we'll be collecting hope boxes and prom dresses throughout the PER listening area. So we'd love for you to get involved, and you can get all the details at WPER.org. But this morning, we just wanted to take a moment to talk with Pastors Mike and Lisa about the campaign, about Hope for Appalachia, and the relationship with WPER. So we are very excited to partner with Hope for Appalachia once again for this incredible collection in the spring. Now, do you know off the top of your head how many years this partnership has been with WPER?
I believe this will be the fifth year.
I was thinking fourth, and so well, that's even better. You're probably right.
Okay.
I'm probably wrong.
I honestly can't remember doing it without WPER.
I don't even know. That's my favorite answer. I like that a lot. Would one of you like to speak to just the growth of the drive itself and how much more impact Hope for Appalachia has been able to have growing from year to year?
It is amazing to watch how God has blessed us through WPER over the past several years. I mean, in 2012, we started out with three schools, and I went down in my Ford pickup with a couple other people from church, and that was our team. And now, last year, through God's growth and through His blessing, we traveled with, I think, eight trailers or something, and 212 missionaries, and so many schools and so many thousands of kids. And over the past several years, when we started our campaign, our drive with WPER, the first couple of years, you know, it was a blessing to watch how God has grown the ministry and has blessed us through that growth. Last year, it was right at 3,000 hope boxes last year. And that was 3,000 kids that were able to hear the gospel and new schools that we were able to go into.
And the prom dress, you know, component is just amazing of the ministry. We have so many different arms of the ministry now, but the response that we get from WPER listeners for prom dresses is just unbelievable. I think the first year that we took prom dresses, we may have taken 50. And this last year, with the help of WPER listeners, we took almost 1,800 prom dresses to Kentucky. And it was amazing this year. We had an opportunity to watch the girls try the dresses on. This year, we are super excited about an opportunity that God has laid before us. We're going to have a pop-up prom dress boutique. And we are so excited. We're going to do that at Harlan High School in Harlan County, Kentucky. And we're going to bring the dresses in and we're going to set them all up. We're going to hang them. And then the girls are going to come in during lunch and they're going to have an opportunity to look at the dresses and choose from the dresses, the one that best fits them, the one they like the best, and then be able to wear that to prom. So we are so thrilled. And we could not do that without WPER listeners helping us.
It's funny because the first couple of years that we partnered with you, that was the focus for us, was the prom dresses and the hope box. At the time, it felt like, or you could also do this. And it almost feels like there's been a transition, like the prom dresses just sort of come automatically, whether we talk about it or not. But those hope boxes are growing now. And what that does is that enables you to minister to a wider range, age range for kids, right?
It does. It absolutely does. So each child in every school that we go to when we travel, each child receives a hope box. And so a lot of times people say to me, well, you know, they think they need to build 10 or 20 boxes. They get really excited about it. But I tell them, you know, it's the one box that they pray over, that God blesses, that touches a child. And that's why the hope boxes are so important, because that's kind of what gets us into the school many times, because in those boxes are hygiene products, pencil, school supplies, pencils, socks, things like that, that the kids really need. And the administration there recognizes that and so allows us to come in and then share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we tell the Easter story and the kids love it. And so it's just the Hope Boxes is a huge component, a huge part of the ministry, of God's ministry of Hope for Appalachia.
So when it comes to the ministry for the kids, I'd love to just kind of get, even if you have just a story or an example of how the ministry happens, because I know that that's a question that we get a lot. How are they able to talk about Jesus in the schools? So if you have any examples of what Hope for Appalachia actually does on the ground in Kentucky, I'd love to hear that.
I think one of the, it's so many kids that have been touched. And the one that comes to mind all the time is a young man that one of our pastors met a number of years ago, I believe 4 years ago on our trip. And it was a new school that particular day. We'd never been to that school before. And the first time you go to a school, sometimes it takes a little while to get into the culture, I guess, of the schools. It's each organization, each school has a different culture. But we got there that morning, and one of our pastors connected with a senior in high school. And this young man was going through a very troubled time. He was in the gym. He stayed in the gym most all day. And the pastor connected with him, and I remember seeing him on the floor. They sat on the floor for at least an hour and a half, just talking. And at the end of that conversation, at the end of that day, that young man accepted Jesus Christ. And they have stayed in contact. Just recently, the pastor was talking with us. He was telling us that this young man called him, and he spoke to him just recently on the phone again. And one of the things the young man said was, you know, if you hadn't got up that morning so early and come to my school, I would not know Jesus Christ today.
I got chills. I know.
That is just an amazing, and it just touches each of our hearts, you know, to hear a young man, this young man, you know, and he's still going through difficult times. He's still struggling, you know, but he's not doing it alone. He's doing it with Jesus Christ. God opens these doors in these schools, and folks ask me, you know, how do you get in these schools? We don't. Yeah. It is God.
Now, how many schools were you able to visit this last time with the prom dresses and the Hope Boxes? Do you know?
Last year, mm-hmm. last spring, we went to 31 schools. The Virginia team did.
Wow.
Oh, that was amazing. And we were able to add on a couple of schools. In fact, we added on at least one while we were there. Mm-hmm. And so, but a total, I believe, of 31 schools for the Virginia team last year.
That is incredible.
With the little ones, you know, we have poverty here, but the magnitude of the poverty down there is really difficult to describe. And people sometimes struggle with that. But many of these children that we minister to are in foster care, many, many of them. Many of their parents have gotten involved with drugs, and so their parents are in jail, or their parents have just left altogether. So quite a few of these children are living with their grandparents, or even last year we had principals tell us their great-grandparents wow. are caring for these wee little ones, the kindergartners and first graders and second graders. And it is just amazing to sit on the floor with them and to take prayer requests from them and to hear what's on their heart. You know, they are, when we first started going, one of the principals there at the very first school we went to, she met us at the front door, and she told us that she'd been praying for us since about 7 o'clock in the morning. And she told us that her children in her school were without hope. And that's how we got the name of the box. They became from just a shoe box, they moved to Hope Boxes. You know, we also realized over time that they had little joy. You know, when you don't have hope, you know, you have little joy. And so we've added a lot of things to our program. And we're in the school all day long. And so we're not only ministering to the kids, but we're also ministering to the teachers and the administrators. But to sit on the floor with these little ones and for them to tell you about their daddy who's in jail and he won't be home for 10 more years, or their grandma who has cancer and they don't know what's going to happen when grandma dies because they don't know where they'll live, you know. They live almost day to day, almost moment to moment. And so to be able to share Jesus with them and the hope that we find in Jesus Christ is just an amazing gift that God gives us.
You touch on a point that we actually receive a lot every time we partner with Hope for Appalachia, which is, why not here? Why did you start with Kentucky? What called you to go to that area specifically, as opposed to looking right here at home?
Well, certainly it was a call from God. You know, a lot of times, You know, in ministry, we try to figure out what God wants us to do. And if we'll only listen, God will tell you exactly what to do. And God laid this opportunity in front of us. And we knew it was an opportunity from God. And like everybody else who starts a new ministry, we were a little bit apprehensive and didn't really know whether to go right or go left. But through it all, God has really guided us in the ministry. And the folks there, the administrators, the principals, the teachers, are excited for us to be there. They understand the hopelessness that many of these kids have, and they recognize and are believers, many of them, and they know that for these folks, for these children to have the joy and the hope that's only going to come from Jesus Christ because of where they live and because of what they're dealing with. They know that that's the only way that these kids are going to ever get that.
When it comes to the preparation of the hope boxes, so we do post that information on our website, and we still get questions about what is a hope box. So what does a hope box look like to you?
A hope box is a 6-quart shoebox, a shoebox like you would see at Walmart, where a Sterilite box, where you would maybe store a pair of shoes for the summer or the winter. And we put in those boxes pencils and 2 pairs of socks and crayons, erasers. We put, many times we'll put a couple of toys in for the children. We'll put sometimes a little bit of candy. It has to be like not peanuts, not chocolate, but other types of candy we'll put in there for the kids. Bows for the little girls, hair ties for the little girls. It's amazing the things that the kids get the joy from. The toothpaste and the toothbrush is the number one thing that they get excited about. And typically, we'll use a track on the floor with the kids when we are talking about Jesus and when we're sharing the Easter story, or a salvation tool. And many times that's the one thing out of the box that they'll pull out and get the most excited about, because we've just told them the story, and so they're repeating the story back to their friends sitting on the floor with them. So it's really amazing to watch, because you wouldn't think that maybe. You might think that maybe a toy truck they'd get excited about or some other things that are in the box, but it's not. Many times they'll say, you know, Miss Lisa, I don't have any socks on today. Is it okay if I put this pair of socks on? I don't have any socks at home. Or I've had little boys, been sitting with a group of little boys, and one of them will say, you know, my daddy told me that he was going to go buy me toothpaste when he got paid. And look, Miss Lisa, I got a tube of toothpaste in my box. So now I can go tell my daddy he doesn't have to go buy me toothpaste, because, you know, daddy doesn't have a lot of money. And the little boy knows that. I mean, that is, these children are so advanced in age, in that they're so aware of what's going on around them. And when they give us prayer requests, I mean, it's amazing the prayer requests that they give us. You wouldn't think that a kindergartner or a first grade would know enough to say that, you know, his daddy is going to be incarcerated for the next 15 years. And, you know, his mommy is hooked on drugs, or his grandfather has cancer, liver cancer, and is dying. You just wouldn't, but they do, because they deal with it every single day.
It's hard to wrap my head around the fact that here, yes, I'm 39 years old, and you're running into 9-year-olds who have experienced more life and more hardship than,
yes,
I have in my time.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. It's just it's heartbreaking, you know, because you think of your own children or children in your neighborhood or children at school, and certainly there are children that are struggling there, because there are children everywhere struggling. But again, it's just the magnitude of it down there, mm-hmm, just the sheer numbers. We're actually going to be in a school this year for the first time. It's in McCreary County, Kentucky, and McCreary County is the poorest county in the United States. And the school that we're going to is a very large school. And the principal recognized a year or so ago that her children were going home at night and they weren't being fed, that a huge percentage were going home and not being fed at night. And so she has worked it out in her budget such that she not only feeds them breakfast and lunch, but she feeds them a hot meal before they leave for the day, so that they've had 3 meals every day. I mean, it's just, we can't fathom it, you know.
Nope.
Really, a lot of items in the whole box are what we kind of take for granted, and basic items. We do require that at least 2 fun items be in each box, because part of that box represents joy for these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it is our firm belief, it is my firm belief, that without joy, there is no hope. Without hope, there is no joy. And so we connect the two, at least two fun items, and candy. We always ask a little candy in each box that we don't have allergy problems with. Skittles is a favorite, one of my favorites, and happens to be many kids' favorites. But the box represents some needed items that they should have, need to have. But it also represents joy, and it represents love, both our love for them and Jesus' love for them. And it's that ticket that we get into the schools. There's a young man I spoke to a couple of years ago, and I've told the story before, I think, but, you know, in the gas station, the young man had graduated. And when he saw me come in with my purple shirt at 5:30 in the morning on the way to a school, you know, he recognized us, and he was so excited us being there, the Hope guys, you know, and he was telling people in the store who we are, and he was talking about the hope and encouragement that he got at his school. And it wasn't until I got back in the truck that I realized the first school we went to that first morning was a mile from that gas station. He would have been in that school that we went to that first year, and the year that we've gone back ever since. And he talked about, and he was telling folks in the gas station how much hope and encouragement he got from us coming, and how good it, how joyful it was, how good it made him feel. And afterwards, when I was thinking about it, after I got in the truck again, he never mentioned the box. What he talked about was the hope and encouragement. So that's what a hope box brings. It's much more than just what's in it. It's what it represents and what it brings to the kids.
It doesn't have to make sense to us. Why am I putting toothpaste in this box? It doesn't have to make sense to
us. Absolutely.
Because God knows.
Yes.
God knows what difference that's going to make. So when we talk about Hope for Appalachia having been started, because you were called, you felt called by God to do this. You did not have everything that you needed when you felt called to pull off Hope for Appalachia. So for those listening right now who are thinking, I've had a calling on my heart and I don't know how to even begin, what encouragement would you offer?
Oh. Hope for Appalachia started with just a chance meeting of a pastor wanting to drive over a mountain. That's it. Coming back from vacation and happens to pick a mountain on a map. And at the bottom of that mountain happened to be a small town called Lynch, Kentucky. And God led that pastor to a chance meeting of two missionaries that lived there. And out of that meeting, Hope Appalachia was born. And we have the ministry has nothing. We don't have any trucks, any trailers. We don't have, you know, we everything that we have is provided by God. Everything. And looking back at when 2012, when I filled up the back of my pickup, you know, my 150 Ford, and drove there with a couple of folks from church to three schools, you know, and now, you know, last year to just the logistics of moving 13,000, 14,000 hope boxes and thousands of blankets and a couple thousand prom dresses and Bibles and stuffed animals and things. Just the logistics of moving that from parts of Virginia, because they come from all over, to Kentucky. I would have said no way. Positively, there is no way that this can be done. But now looking back, it was, you know, God brings people together. Give you an example. You know, one of our prayers this year is trucks and trailers. And we need some trucks, we need some trailers, we need some drivers. You know, I spoke to a pastor that had heard about us from some folks in Lynchburg, heard about Hope for Appalachia yesterday. And he calls me up and he's from Mount Airy, North Carolina, which many of you may know as Mayberry. You know, which is you know, my favorite TV show of all times, Andy Griffin, and he's got access to either a tractor trailer or a box truck, and so one of our teams that had no way to move the boxes there now has more than enough way, and that's the way God works, and
a lot of prayer.
A lot of prayer.
And we don't pretend to know what God wants or how God sees the ministry growing and changing. Like even from the very beginning, we just really had no idea. We knew we needed to fill in the beginning. We knew we needed to fill boxes. We didn't know how we were going to fill the boxes, but we knew we needed to get the boxes full. And we would go shopping with very little money, and God would provide amazing pricing on things. We would look over and we'd be like, well, that's exactly what we need. And we would get that and we'd put that in the box. And then we'd go out again and we'd do more with maybe a little bit of a donation that had come in. And God would take that donation and he would enable us to buy 10 times with that donation what you would normally be able to get. It's amazing to watch God work. Really, it's obedience. It's us saying, we are going to follow you. And we tell that to everybody, every team member, every missionary. We have our Facebook page that has hundreds of prayer warriors on it that pray for us every single day. And, you know, we tell our team, all of our team, our missionaries, whether they're prayer warriors, whether they're box builders, you know, whether they're traveling missionaries with us, you know, that we don't presume to know what God knows. And God knows where he wants the ministry to go, and God directs the ministry. And we do, because people, as you might imagine, have all kinds of ideas about what they think God should do and what they think we should do. And we tell them, no, we're going to do exactly what God tells us to do. And when God tells us to move left, we go left. And when God tells us to move right, we go right. Otherwise, we're right behind him all the way to Kentucky. And that's how we feel about it, you know? And we know he travels with us. We know he protects us. We've never been sick. Not one member has ever been sick. We've never had one accident. It's all God.
Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. So for those who want to get involved and help Hope for Appalachia, what are some ways that they can do that? Not even necessarily just through the prom dresses and the Hope boxes, but what are ways that they can, even year round, be a part of what you're doing?
They can pray for us. They can absolutely pray for us every single day. We need prayer every single day. We need prayer for the items that we need in the boxes. We need prayer for our missionaries. We need prayer, especially for these children and for the teachers and for the administration down there, for the new schools that we're trying to get into, you know, that they would be open to that and they would allow us to come and share Jesus with their children. We've begun to move into high schools, and they're a little bit more challenging than our elementary schools, you know, and so we need high schools in Kentucky covered in prayer and those children, because that, you know, we talk about that a lot with the high school group, you know, that when we're sharing the gospel with them, you know, that they're at a very pivotal time in their lives where they're making decisions that will impact them for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. And we know that God has led us to high schools the last couple of years because these kids are struggling and they need Jesus. And so prayer for high schools is another big thing that we need help with. Prayer for trailers, drivers, to help us get all this stuff, because you think, you know, it's a little 6-quart Hope box, they can get those down there. But when you're talking about thousands and thousands of these boxes, it's a lot to move. And we take blankets and we take stuffed animals and we take all different kinds of things to the kids. And so as God provides, we take it. So this year we have partnered with an organization, Little Dresses from Africa. And they are an organization that makes dresses and sends them to Africa. And so they were looking for a U.S. partner. And so we've partnered with them. And so this year we are taking to Kentucky about 3,000 little dresses for these little girls for Easter. And it's amazing, because we've done it before, and it's amazing, never 3,000, but we've taken dresses before, and it is amazing to watch these little girls put these dresses on and twirl in these little dresses. I mean, it's just, they're so excited to get a new dress, because they don't have those types of things down there, pretty little things, and the bows for their hair and things like that. So we're just excited to do that this year. So just pray for, you know, our ministry, pray for continued for God to guide us where God would have us be, and that we would be obedient in that safe, you know, mm-hmm. safe travel for us.
I would say on our website are just a number of ways that folks can get involved year round. One of the things on there that comes to mind is we like to bless our teachers in Kentucky at every school. You know, we share the hope of Jesus Christ with each student, but we also share it with each teacher. and each principal. And so there are ways on our website. One of the big ways is cookies. Folks bake. We take thousands and thousands of cookies. And we go into a school and we'll take cookies to the teacher's lounge and put those in there for the day. And because we got candy for the kids, get them all sugared up. So the teachers got to have something to, you know, to come back, you know, so that we get them sugared up well. But on our website is just a host of different ways that folks can get involved year round, both with our drive in the fall and our drive in the spring. And preparing for theirs. One thing that we need is our hands to help pack hope boxes. And there's a schedule and locations on our website of different locations around the state that are packing the dates. And so we definitely need hands to help pack those many thousands of hope boxes. And so many different ways to get involved. God uses this ministry so many different ways. You know, one of the things that I will mention, the hearts that WPER touches is Lisa and I talk about this all the time. You know, there is hardly ever a store that we go into to get something from Hope Appalachia that somebody doesn't know about us through WPER and is being touched by WPER's ministry and is being touched by the folks here. I'll give you an example. Monday, I was in Charlottesville and had to stop at a store. And I hadn't shopped at this store before. But it was a chain store. And so I went in there to get some things and I got a full basket full. And I come to the check out, and a young lady's there, and soon she sees a blanket. The cart. She said, "You know, you must have special plans for that." And I said, "Yes, we go to Kentucky. That's the Appalachia people. Oh, I listen to the radio. I know all about the Appalachia people." And I said, "Yeah, that's us. You know, and it's all the time."
I had a lady on Saturday morning right across the street here at the Dollar Tree tell me the same thing, that she was a WPER listener. She said, "What are you doing with all those things in that cart?" And I said, "Well, I'm a missionary, and I'm with Hope for Appalachia." "Hope for Appalachia? Oh, I know exactly who you are. I'm a WPER listener." I said, "That's awesome."
That is so cool. I love it.
It's really cool, yeah. So many people, God has use the radio station in such a mighty way to touch people's hearts and to engage people in this ministry, people who probably honestly are not engaged in other ministries. But folks are faithful. WPER listeners are faithful and participated in the Hat and Glove Drive, mm-hmm. and I know are going to be faithful in this upcoming drive for the Hope Boxes. And so we're just really excited to partner again with WPER.
We are excited too. Thank you both so much for your time today. And we're very excited to see what God does this year through the Prom Dress and Hope Box Collection. Again, our kickoff event is Friday the 28th. We will be at the Sweet Frog at Harrison Crossing and Eagle Village. Both locations are in Fredericksburg. And then from there through March 20th, we will be collecting at multiple locations throughout the listening area, Richmond, Fredericksburg, Culpeper, Warrenton, all sorts of different areas. So make sure you head over to WPER.org to get all of those details and get involved, because we want to bless the socks off of these kids in Kentucky and really bring them the hope and love of Jesus Christ.